World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I hope to be at the top of my game today, although I don't really know if I will be. We rolled in pretty late last night after a fabulous weekend and a long ride home from Cheese Country up there in Wisconsin. I don't even know where I was. I'm going to get out a map later on and look at where we traversed from. And I want to apologize right up front for the crappy show on Friday. It wasn't a crappy show, but just a crappy production. And for the life of me, I don't know why I couldn't get my camera to work. I don't know. It really discombobulated me. And so I apologize for all that. And I appreciate Leighton coming in and doing the best he could do with the crappy setup we have. And let me just do some mea culpa. No, not mea culpa. That means I'm sorry. Some kudos to some folks out there. You know, it was a wonderful, wonderful conference. By the way, Spencer, get the Liberty Action Network. We kind of dropped the ball there on reading our Psalms. I want to get that up and running again. But before we get going here too quickly, let me, it's a great weekend. And I know some of you don't want to hear about it, but I just need to acknowledge some things, okay? I just need to acknowledge. I think the thing that I came away from the most, it was a very, very, very good conference. And the reason it was a good conference, in my opinion, is Rob Pugh did not stick too much stuff in it. He actually gave you time to, after a speaker was done, there was fellowship time, there was hangout time. And one of the things that really still concerns me, and I don't know how to do it, folks, and this is not criticism, please don't take it that way. When we have conferences and we get people together, we need time not to sit and get more information, which we all need. Let me be truthful. A lot of times the information that's presented just verifies or validates what you already know. Most of the information I already know. And those guys get up there and they do a great job and they make the presentation. And the room is probably full of people who already know most of it. They get it. That's why they're there. They know. And the real problem that we have, see, I was at a conference last week. I was at the one before. Now that we're starting to come out and be alive again. And here at the bottom, here's what it gets down to, it, folks. Okay. What do we do? That's always the missing element. And Rob, I'm not being critical. Ray, I'm not being critical. At the end of the day, when you go to church on Sunday and you leave church on Sunday or Saturday, what's the game plan? What do we do? That's my great, I'll just be honest with you. That's my greatest frustration. And oh my goodness, time and effort. We stayed at Rob and Lisa Pugh's house. And I mean, what a team. Rob runs around like a chicken with his head cut off, and Lisa runs the house and cooks the food, and wonderful hostess. And if they sleep till noon tomorrow, I certainly understand it. And I just want to acknowledge it and the financial risk that Rob Pugh takes to make that thing happen. Folks, look, here's what we got to figure out how to do this. Rob would tell you this. Bear with me a second. Let me vent, okay? We've got to find churches who will open their doors to conferences. Now, I don't think Rob would mind me telling this. $5,000 was the venue rental. Why are we giving Christian dollars to Holiday Inn? Why are we doing that? Now, I understand people have to sleep there, but the people that sleep there, they pay for their rooms. The $5,000 is just to rent the room. There's 100 churches around, and Rob would tell you, they won't let you in. They won't let you in. And so we have to somehow meld these two things together. I want a big old church where people can come to my big old church and hear the truth about what's going on. Because there are 200 people over there, and they're awake, and they don't know other people that are awake. And so you feel my frustration, huh? So we had all those people, that wonderful presentation. Pastor Arthur Pawlowski from, he was in there, Matt Tuella. And I'm not going to run down through the names because it's just wonderful guys with wonderful stuff that they're doing. But see, it's just the simple people. It's the Ray LeBlancs that are doing stuff. It's the Craig Mickles that are doing stuff. It's the Randy Lunsfords that are doing stuff. We've got to stop being stargazers. Stargazers. Okay, we just went through a wonderful, wonderful presentation up there from Rob. What do we do? At the end of the day, if we had a at the end of a football practice game, there's a game. You run a play, you win or you lose. We keep having huddles. Look, I'm not being critical. Thank God for another huddle. And thank God for the people that came together and the encouragement. And thank God that yesterday Ray LeBlanc actually gave me some time from a pulpit to speak. Thank God for that. But folks, at what point do we stop just talking about the war and get engaged in the war? That's always my greatest frustration. Rob, I'm not being critical. Ray, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, it's the truth. So 250 people leave there well-informed. What's our plan? What's our plan? Look, folks, again, I'm not being critical. It was a wonderful event. So we got Coach Dave Livers everywhere. I couldn't believe some of the Penny show. I could go on and on with the people that showed up that I hadn't seen. And here they're listening to the show and they're engaged. And, oh, man, folks, we got something going on here. I'm going to shift a little bit. Here's one. I got a lot of great information, but I don't really want to go there today. Here's what I would kind of like you to do as we move on. Not yet. I want to hear what you got going on. What do you got going on? And because look, you encourage others. I've spent some time with Scott Shire. You guys know Grace's dad, huh? $1.5 million. He's into this fight. $1.5 million. And his churches are telling him, stop it. You shouldn't be involved with it. He said, are you kidding me? They killed my sweet, precious Grace. They killed her. And the church is telling me to look the other way and I'll forgive them. And oh my God, he forgives them. But folks, there's got to be some restitution. There's got to be some justice, right? And why is the church the love boat when the church should be a warship, a battleship? We've been birthed into about, I'm gonna get off this here in a second. Ray, Rob, Lisa, got Betty. Are you kidding me? Betty, I'll go through that story later. Betty, she picked us up when we drove up, and seemed like forever up and forever back. And she probably isn't even up. Just kind of, we got home late last night. And see, Betty's a servant. Some of us are designed just to be servants. And the way Betty has served us has been absolutely unbelievable. I got to know Leighton Howerton better. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. And then give me a minute here, will you? I had the most unbelievable wife anybody could ever have. I'm just so blessed. And I said to Michelle last night, man, we are yin and yang, but man, are we a team? God darn it. I'm kind of a celeb. I get that. I'm kind of a celeb. So I'm walking around. People want to talk to me. And I'm walking around. I'm looking around. And then there's over Michelle over in the corner. Got some lady by the hands praying for some lady. Just, oh, my goodness. My goodness. And I next to the Lord, I know there's nothing in the world that I cherish more than that pretty little brunette. And I know you're listening up there, sweetheart. I can't say it enough, man. Can't say it enough. How much I love my wife, and how faithful she is to me and to Pass the Salt and to our family and to whatever it is. And she's a thorn in the side sometimes because she's always looking out for me. She's always looking out for me, huh? And she's making sure that I don't get over my skis too far out there. And she loves me enough to hook me and reel me in when I need to be reeled in. She's she loves me enough to say, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said this. And I don't always agree with her, but I know this. She's got my best interests at heart. And I just want to publicly honor that sweet little woman. She's wow. I married her because she was pretty. I didn't know what I was getting. I didn't know what I was getting. And just God bless my wife. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to dive in. We're a little bit behind on our Psalms, I suppose, the current actions. I think we're on Psalm 4. Are we not on Psalm 4? Now, look, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do this right now. I want you to get lined up here. I want to hear some testimony time of things you're doing. See, maybe you're not hosting conferences. Maybe you haven't started a church. But what are some things that have motivated you to do this? To listen to Scott Shara talk about what they did to his daughter and how he is relentlessly plugged in and how the churches are so, for the most part, against him. Against him. Scott, just let it go. Forgive. Where's the warrior spirit in the church that hates evil, that has nothing to do with evil? Huh? Where is that? Amen. 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 So I see Craig's tacking in. Which I think I know, Craig, but which psalm should we be on today, Craig?
Just look at the date.
I know that.
Seventh, if it's the seventh, it's the seventh.
Seventh psalm. We're on the seventh psalm. Ray LeBlanc, you going to read that for us out there?
Sure.
Okay, Ray.
You ready?
Hang on a second. Lord, look, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Everything around us is corrupted. We're told to be the salt of the earth, and Lord, there's a tendency to want to be the sugar. And the truth of the matter is it goes against all of our hides to fight. We've been taught as Christians not to fight, to love, to compromise, to roll over, to not judge. Just lies from the pit of hell. All of those things, Lord, true within a certain specific situation. But Lord, we would just confess to you that the mess that we're in this country and in this world is because we have not been the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Your body, your vehicle, the church. Lord, we're malnourished. Lord, we've fallen in line under ungodly men. You warned us in James, ungodly men have crept in, changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. My best life now. Marketing Christianity as a lifestyle. Lord, I was born on a battlefield, Lord. I'm battle hardened and battle ready to do what needs to be done to advance the kingdom of God. Go ye into all the world, you said. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. But be careful, you're going to be hated of all men. Lord, help us to fear you more than the opinions of men. For the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not the fear of our man, not the fear of our pastor, not the fear of our neighbors, not the fear of our government, the fear of the Lord. And Father, we see this, that there's a battle going on who will be king. And we just want to say here today, you are king. And Lord, we are soldiers on your battlefield, under your guidance and under your direction. And we know there will be casualties. But we know this, Lord, that you won't forget those of us who laid down our lives for the kingdom. You won't forget them. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And Lord, help us to stay Christ-focused, truth-focused, a soldier of the cross, in this time in which you've placed us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Somebody read Psalm 7.
I got it there, Coach.
Thanks.
You know, that first psalm, the first verse reminds me of the apostles coming to Jesus. They teach us how to pray, and he says, part of it, deliver us from evil. Here we're asking for deliverance as well. So,
amen.
We are. Yeah. Oh, Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust.
Amen.
Save me. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me.
Hang on, Ray. Say amen, folks, where you are. Give him an amen. You don't have to unmute. You don't have to unmute. Just amen. Go ahead.
Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rendering it in pieces while there is none to deliver.
Amen.
O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there be any iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yeah, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy.
Amen.
Then let that enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust.
Praise Selah. The Lord. Amen.
Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies. And awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded.
Wow. Amen, Ray.
Amen.
He didn't say to arise and lift him up in love and joy and peace. No, no. And lift up in anger, Lord. Rise, O Lord, in your anger, Lord.
So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes. Therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Yes.
Amen.
Judge me.
O
Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that's inside of me.
Amen.
Oh, just let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end.
Yes, really? Lord.
But establish the just.
Yes.
For the righteous God tries the hearts and the reins of men.
You tell me what, Ray? It's God that's trying the hearts and reins of men? God is? God's testing us? Are you kidding me?
So my defense is of God, which saves the upright in heart. God judges the righteous. Mm. And God is angry with the wicked every day.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I thought God loves the wicked every day. Well, he does. He does. But he hates all workers of iniquity. If you think God doesn't hate and God doesn't get mad, somebody's been lying to you. Go ahead, Ray.
If he doesn't turn, he will wet that sword. He has bent his bow and he's made it ready.
Yes.
He has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against those persecutors.
Amen. He's prepared. He has. Yep. Yeah.
Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehoods. He made a pit and he digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made.
Wow, wow. Who has? Our persecutors have dug a ditch they're going to fall into.
Folks. Tried to do that to Mordecai. Didn't work.
Didn't work out very good, right? Hey, folks, there's some ditch digging going on in Washington, D.C., I want you to know. Go ahead.
So his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
Amen. Hey, Ray. Hey, folks. Sometimes God's love hurts.
Boom.
Do you get that? Huh? Sometimes God's love hurts. And you know what? We ought to wake up and we ought to understand and we ought to really get involved with, huh? It is our job to protect the innocent. Widows and orphans in their times of trouble, our job, unborn children, women are going in to kill their babies, it's our job to protect them. Don't you understand that? Do you think God's pro-choice? Well, he is to a degree. He is pro-choice to agree. Do you think God, I bet the Lord has to cover his eyes with the wrath of us, the church, silence, and the murdering of unborn children. See, they're after kids. We don't get it. The war's after our children. Homosex, transgenderism, abortion, drugs, pornography, everything to destroy the innocent heart of young children. Folks, I'm just, That's where we are. That's where we are. And I just want to stop here a minute. Because this is going to be kind of, I see you, David, stay right there. This is kind of testimony time. Hey, Ray Blanc, tell him what you're doing up there. Folks, I met Ray LeBlanc. I don't know how many years it would be going. Would be now, Ray.
07.
07? 07. Ray just, I had an event going on and Ray shows up out of nowhere. I didn't know Ray from nobody. And he said, Coach, I'm just here and I want to serve. So I gave him 16 different chores to run and he ran and did them all. And it was a life-changing experience for Ray. And Ray went back and he's had enough of the church stuff and he opened up his own fellowship. He doesn't have a great big building that he owns and doesn't have a real sparkling choir behind him. Doesn't have anything, just nuts and bolts Christianity. Knowing this, Lord, you called me. I want to do more. I want to do more. And he gave Ray a wife, Jane, who's come alongside him, and they're building something together. Oh, yeah, cancer tried to invade Jane, but no. The healing is the children's bread, and then on the other side of that, there's great things going on. Ray, take 5 minutes. I want to hear from somebody else then. 5 minutes, Ray, and tell them, look, folks, this is not, I don't want you to come on here and tell me how wonderful I am. And Coach Dave, you did this. No, I get it. Okay. All of you are doing stuff because of the anointing of God upon me that I've spoken through this camera. So don't spend time telling me what a wonderful guy I am. I don't want to know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what you have been encouraged or led to do. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, I think all of us, Coach, have that born again experience and hunger for righteousness, hunger for a relationship with our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to be part of that team. We want to be in his huddle. And but he speaks throughout the whole Bible about a shepherd, that the fields are ripe on the harvest, but there's no sheep. There's nobody to lead his sheep. Amen. Only a bunch of hirelings. And people are hungering and thirsting for somebody to show them the way. And for me, it was you, Coach, okay? I was saved for many years, but I was never connected. It's just like countless of people that are in this queue. They sat in the church pews Sunday after Sunday. And, you know, the highest they got elevated was to maybe go park cars or take a collection or you know, change diapers in the kiddies room. And so, no, men want to be men. They want to do something bold and courageous. And you're not going to get that happening if you're just stuck inside those four walls. It's out there in the streets is where you're gonna do it, okay? And God didn't say, you know, he says, go out into all the world. He didn't say, come into the church and hide yourself. So Coach did teach me to go out into all the world. The first event that really inspired me was when he had the audacity to go to Columbus Gay Parade with 500,000 people all cheering for this game. Even the cops were in the parade holding each other's hands, walking down the street. Churches were in the parade broadcasting that they love this homosexual movement, but not Coach. No, what's he do? He's got those, you saw his shirts there with homosexuality is a sin and all this stuff written all over your back at like Targus. 15 of us, Gideon's army, 500,000, stand there in front of them all with a sign and tell them they're wrong. And he led us into where courage started building up and bubbling up. And then, hey, after you were before that kind of a crowd and your knees are shaking, but you're standing for God, the Holy Spirit will just come down and touch you and say,
amen, dude.
Peace, brother. I'll give you peace in the midst. It's Psalm 23 all over again. Right. And, you know, I'll present a table for you in the presence of your enemies.
Amen.
So he did that. So that was my my starter, where it got me more engaged and more involved. And, you know, I started going to some of these conferences and had my ear open for where I could be a help or a servant. And one door that opened for me, I was in Tennessee at the time when I met Coach. Rob Pugh. I ran into Rob Pugh a few times, and he made a mention that he needed some help. He had a brand new ministry started out here, and he's a real visionary. He really another go getter, right? And with the Wisconsin Christian newspaper and the ministry center. So he invited me out to come out and give him a hand with that. And that's what led me into Wisconsin. And I did that. And, it, you know, so the Lord, you know, was faithful in a few little things. So the Lord gave me a little bit more to work with. And after did that for about a year, it wasn't very profitable. And the building was becoming a burden financially for Rob, and he sold the building. And by that time, we had built up a bunch of people, you know, a small fellowship that were tight, like Penny Miller and Tom Hendrick and Mike Phil, the guys that are around. And when that dispersed and the building sold, we just said, well, what do you want to do? Just disperse now and go our own ways? We got nothing else. So I was encouraged, no, let's keep it going. So we rented a small building just down the street across from where Rob Pugh had his. And that's been almost about 3 years ago. So we had just a tight little knit group, and we decided we're going to get engaged and involved in our community. Everything from going to the school board meetings to going out, like Coach showed us, how to hold up a sign or just stand there if you're afraid and fold your hands like this,
amen,
and, you know, and stand amen there. So we went out in the streets and we passed out tracts or go to some of these gay parades and stuff. So I guess, you know, those are the things that as we did these things, I you know, you just felt that the Lord was pleased with you. You know, he said, well done, my good faithful servant. Just amen, keep it up, you know. So thank you, Coach, for the opportunity to say
amen
that.
You just did it, right? You just went and you just did it, right?
Amen.
You're not built burdened with a new building program and none of that stuff. By the way, folks, I want you to ask yourself this. Is it a good use of our resources to have a big church building that's used one day a week? And that's basically it is, right? One day a week. And then Rob Pugh wants to have an event where he brings in people to educate Christians, and not a church will open their door. They don't want anything to do with a spiritual war that's raging around us. Somehow in their mind, they've separated religion and politics, not understanding that religion is politics or politics is religion. And so we've got to spend $5,000 to Holiday Inn that could be gone to advance the kingdom. Buildings, big church buildings everywhere you look. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. Help us. Hey, folks, come on, listen. I want to hear from you today, okay? Even if it's only 2 minutes, just, Coach, here's what we're doing. Coach, here's what we're doing. Just me and my friend, and we started this, and here's what we're doing. Folks, look, you can do it. You can do it. Hey, Ray, you don't have a big elder board over you, do you? You don't have to listen. You don't have to answer to some denomination to do what it is that the Lord has called you to do. Said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And you go to Wisconsin, and you're planted, and you're growing, and it doesn't even matter if you're growing. You're being faithful to what it is the Lord has called you to do. Aren't you tired of going to church? Isn't it time you became the church? Come on, man. This isn't hard. Listen, you don't need my approval. Come on, get engaged. I want to hear from some of those guys out there. Come on now. Vinny, come on, and then David. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, Coach, you just revitalized an idea that I had. I had something on an idea called the Great Old Sportsmen's League, in which, Coach, we would use the stadiums, which, just like the churches, stand empty until the games are played, turn them into 24-hour safe zones for families. Mm. Right? So you do the same thing with churches. Wow, what an idea, huh?
Vinny, you might mess up their carpet or their padded pew. You can't do that. Look, we all understand souls are important, but we can't have them dragging their dirty feet into our church. Yes? Amen? Somebody say amen? Is that what
boom
it is? And there, right? There they are. There they are. Monuments to what? What are they monuments to? Well, for the most part, they're monuments to men.
Well, Coach, men. Think about if such happens, right? Someone comes in and dirties the rug. Well, maybe the person who cleans the rug would instead be led to clean the rug because he loves the place.
Amen.
And he's there anyway. Imagine that.
Yeah, I can tell you this. Ray LeBlanc has a congregation of no names. They're just no names. And they love the Lord, and they don't want any attention, and they don't want to be a star. They're just guys and gals who want to be plugged in. They want to live out their faith. Why is this so hard for our churches to understand? David Arthur, come in, then Paul.
So really what I'm looking for right now is a network of ministries and fellowships, like what Ray's talking about, because we're bringing back 3-day outreach ministry this year, hopefully over the summer. We're not going out there to tell them that God loves you and he has a plan for your life. We're going out there to tell him that he loves you, but his love is not going to get you into the kingdom. You have to obtain his mercy for that. And
Amen.
So that's what we need, because, you know, so 3-day outreach ministry, Friday night, we go out in the streets. We go out where I know the turf, on the strip, on the stroll, where the clubs are. And we just meet people, level ground, talk to them. We're not going out there to beat them in the head with scripture because it's foolishness unto them. We're going out there to connect with them to create a bond. And then Saturday, whoever we meet on Friday, we take them out of their comfort zone. We spend time with them. We pray with them, for them, over them. But Sunday morning, we need somewhere to bring them. They have to be Bible-believing, truth-loving believers that can hold these men and these women accountable as they are discipled. Because that's what we need, discipleship. So
you know,
that's
David,
what we're looking for.
You know, Dave, I said to my wife and Betty as we were driving home last day, those pictures you showed of mutilated boys and girls from transgenderism, I'll never get those out of my. These are real people with real
That's
lives.
Right. These are babies. These are children being mutilated and butchered and sterilized, right? Sterilized, chemically castrated, all in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusivity.
Oh, brother. See, folks, that's where the war is. That's where the war is. And the church has lost its voice. So Ray LeBlanc pops up and Craig Mickle pops up and Randy Lunford pops up and Dave Allison pops up and Chad Estes pops up. Because why? We're soldiers of the cross. Say, somebody's got to go and say, that's wrong. Stop that. That's wrong. That's wrong. Somebody's got to say that. And I'm going to tell you something. As a parent, when I say to my children, or did, when I still do, but when they were younger, stop it. That's wrong. That, folks, that's the greatest love you could ever deliver to somebody. Stop that. That's wrong. Why are we afraid to say that? Why? That's discipleship. Do you know that in the heart of discipleship is the word discipline? Do you understand that? Discipline is at the heart of discipleship. Hey, dude, you don't have to continue to live like that. You got to change your wicked ways. You got to come over here, follow this protocol. We will teach you. We will disciple you, and you will be a free man. How come we don't know that? How come it's about the venue and the waving of the flags? And oh my goodness. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, David. Thanks, man. I feel your heart. I feel you. Paul, come on in.
Is David from Maine?
Yeah, well, he's not from Maine, but yeah, he's in Maine, but he's down. I think he's still in Wisconsin today. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just curious, because if he's up here, I mean, this is kind of, I'm surprised I haven't met him. I'm going to post this here. We have not staked this place out, but there's if you go to that site, the Satanic Temple.
Pull that up. Can you pull that link up for us real quick, Spence? The link he just put in there. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so anyway, the point is, it's in our backyard. Okay, I'm from Massachusetts originally. I live in Maine. It's right across the thing. But if you go down to this thing, they have an abortion clinic in this place. And if people think that this Baphomet character and all this, this is right in front of us. And if you can actually see the building when you go to Salem. And Salem is the number one, you know, town or city, satanic and pagan city in our country. How can we have staked this place out, right? And I'm a little nervous about doing it just because I seem to get in a lot of trouble.
Well, Paul, you won't believe this. I think our buddy Craig Mickle, Steve Deck, I think some of them may have already visited this place, if my memory holds. Hey, folks, listen. Hey, folks. Freedom of religion does not give somebody the right to serve the devil. Do you understand that? You can't call that a religion. It's in the antithesis of what our founders stood for. The antithesis. It's the advancement of evil. Our founders stood for righteousness. We'll get you that information, Paul. Get that information. Somebody else come on in and brag. Tell me what you're doing. Just little old you, what you're faithfully doing to make a difference. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. And I appreciate all the testimonies and things that have been done. But interesting enough, I asked myself, what am I doing? And my phone just rang a few minutes ago and I had to step out. And I looked at it, it was a coworker. I've been out of the office now for a year and a half. And I'm getting a call from a coworker. And I used to get in early. And this guy would come by and I'd always encourage him in the Lord. And he's kind of a stressful guy. I'd always encourage him. So he called me this morning. He said, Dave, I need prayer. And I said, okay, Mike. I said, you know, what's going on? What can we pray about? And he told me what was going on and what he needed to pray for. But just when you think you're not doing anything, right, all of a sudden the phone rings and the Lord says, okay, it's time for you to get into action. And
evidently, your light's been Dave, evidently your light's been shining or something, huh?
Well, again, it's sometimes, and so God, really, what he's testing me is just be faithful in the little things. As you're waiting for the big things to come, just do those little things, and then he'll bring other things your way. But Amen. But at the end of the day, we don't know how big a thing that was. That little prayer that I said this morning with the guy, we don't know how big a thing it was. And we sometimes take those. So anything you can do for the kingdom of God, but to him be the glory, just be ready to give testimony when he calls on you.
Hey, Dave, you were Jesus to him, brother. You were Jesus to him. Don't matter how many degrees you have and whether you're ordained or not, and whether you got ribbons around your neck, you were Jesus to him. And that's what we're all called to do. And friends, it's scary. But
hey, Coach, now that you mentioned that, this guy's a church goer too, and he didn't call his pastor this morning.
Isn't that something? He didn't call his pastor. Sometimes the guy with the experience is a lot better than the guy with the degree. Sorry I had to say that. Chad, come on in.
Well, Coach, you're asking what are we doing. I tell you, what I'm not doing is I'm not running people down that are doing something or are trying to do something. I'm not whispering things. I'm not doing the stuff behind their back, trying to hold them back. Amen. And make myself look better, whatever. What we need to be doing and continue to do is lift one another up. That's what we've got to come together. That's the main thing, support one another. Hallelujah.
That's right. Rather than criticizing them, say, hey, how can I help you, brother? How can I help you down there? Can I send you a few bucks? Huh? Hey, Mark Trump, you down there, you still helping us? Can I send you a few bucks, man? Can I help? Find out where the work's getting done and put your gloves on, get involved. Or if nobody's doing it, dig a ditch. Do something. Activate your faith. Julie.
Good morning. Yeah, over the weekend, I was able to, or the Lord had permitted me to share my testimony.
Wow.
And it was just like, it wasn't me, it was God. He was like, you need to tell your story, you know? So, and he told his story, and it reminded me of Paul, because he was in prison for 4 years because of his holistic thing.
Are you kidding me? That Christian Paul went to jail?
Yeah, but so I invited him to your show, and so hopefully he'll come on and tell his story. Thanks.
Amen, Julie. Amen. Mark Trump, come on in. Hey, Spencer, get Hebrews up for me. Hebrews 12, if you will. Get that up there for me.
I guess the first time I met Ray was at that Columbus Gay Pride Parade.
Sir.
Right. All right. So I didn't know what I was getting into either, Coach, but I was standing beside Bobby Lee with his camera, and that's when I met your favorite witch, right? Throwing elbows. And, you know, what really changed me, well, I got a drink thrown on me. I was standing beside David Arthur, and I got a drink thrown on me by a pastor, been a pastor for 17 years. Going to throw a drink on me because of my views about children in carts with dressed up parents and stuff. It's just terrible. But then we went to that church, Coach, where the Muslim people stayed home.
Yep.
And there were Christians in front of the Muslim place across the street from us.
Yep.
That place there is when I lost all fear of speaking out. I knew all those different denominations standing in front of a pagan temple with a sickle and a moon above it, descending it. Coach, that changed me.
Amen, bro.
Okay. So what are we doing now? I've reined in the circle a little bit. I've learned that we're subcontractors. Hmm. Your body and the time you have in this quarantine zone called Earth, you know, we're a dimensional spiritual being. We subcontract our bodies.
Good
sometimes,
point.
Coach, we give our time, our body, to Jesus.
Hmm.
But all the rest of the time, we're subcontracting our body to ourselves.
We're serving something, aren't we, Mark? And a lot of times
we're serving ourselves. We're not serving Jesus. We're using our body for our own. And it's not ours. It's his.
Amen. 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 Great picture, Mark. Huh? Great picture. Holy smokes. Hey, Spencer, Hebrews 11. Got the wrong one. Jeff Klein. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you know, the last 3 or 4 days got me thinking. You're just talking about it. You got to revamp some things.
Yep, we do.
Heard a guy on JR's show Saturday morning, the old boy from Kentucky. He said this statement. I said, I'm going to steal that. He said, everybody wants to go to church and talk about Jesus, but they don't want to act like Jesus. I said, that's a good one. So here I am last Thursday up in the mayor's office and we've done this stuff, Church in the Garage, for the last 7 or 8 years. And we've ran some people through there, 12, 20, 25 people. We're down to a couple. They're just gone. They've all ran away. But, you know, over the 20 years of you and Pastor Bill, we've done the strip clubs, the gay parades, the abortion clinic. We've been there.
Yep.
So I'm looking back at this. I go up to the mayor's office Thursday morning because I'm trying to do something on that public square through the name of Church in the Garage and just taking it up the square. And we've had some good days up over the last couple of years. But I'm in the mayor's office talking to some city leaders Thursday morning. And I got to share.
You a Christian? Yeah. Went to the mayor's office? Well, that's
great.
Go ahead.
Now, the mayor didn't show up, and I found out the mayor doesn't want nothing to do with JR's Natural Family Month in the city. They told me, oh, he don't want nothing to do with that, JC. So I found a committee I got to go speak to.
Unbelievable.
I asked him, I said, who put the gay pride flags up? Well, it wasn't the city, and it wasn't the mayor. City council ain't going to do it. So I talked to him about going to city council meetings. The city council don't want to back nothing either. They want to stay neutral. So I shared JR's website, Natural Family, and I shared Craig's Saving God's Children with them. At least they listened. There was 3 of them standing there in the office. So I get my permit for the square, and the guy that's giving me the permit filled it out. He says, well, just to let you know, there's a big crowd of protesters coming to the square this Saturday. They've already notified.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
So, you know, and there's been 5, there's been 10, there's been 20 of them Democrats on the square with signs. So I get my permit, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to the square. I'm setting up the PA system right in the middle of the square again. And nobody going with me. So leading up to it, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't go up there alone.
Right.
We've always done that. Don't go alone. Take one, at least with you as a witness. So I get up there. I am not kidding you. I look around, pull up in that square. There is 400 to 500 people. They're around the whole square. Shoulder to shoulder, signs, chanting. They were going nuts. So I got to at least get out and take some pictures. So I go around the square. I'm taking some pictures of this huge group. And I meet 2 Christians coming across the crosswalk by a restaurant. They're just up there looking. They stopped me and said, JC, what's this all about? Because I'm telling them. And I said, look at this. I said, you got 400, 500 people up here, haters, just chanting and everything they're doing. I said, where's the Christians? Where's the pastors? They're looking around. And I said, there is none. So I'm standing there and these people are chanting, we want justice. No, just it really kept going on the justice thing. So these two standing beside me, I looked up and I just started yelling back at the crowd. You don't want God's justice and judgment. When it comes, it fired them up. Them two Christians wanted to hightail it out of there. I did it on purpose to see what they do. And they did. They reacted. They ran. They were like, oh, my goodness, he's yelling at them people.
Yep,
so I went around taking the pictures. Then I seen a police officer standing up in the parking garage. He's up on the second floor of the parking garage. I look up. I said, officer, I said, tell the chief and the mayor I did you a favor this weekend. He said, what's that, JC? I said, I didn't go into the middle of that angry mob and set my PA system up. I had a permit today. He looked down at me. He said, thanks, JC. I said,
well, Jeff, you could have cleared that whole place, couldn't you?
That would have went nuts. If I'd have just had one or two people with me, we'd have set up and done it, but couldn't go in there by myself. So I thought, you know what? I got to revamp this garage. Here we are. Now we're idle in the garage. Just nothing going on. So I called a guy right afterwards. I got back from the square. Oh, I was so mad. I was hot. I almost wanted to go back up and just drive around the square, roll my window down with one of my bullhorns and just rip them and just fire up the whole square and just cause chaos. But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that today. We'll go back next weekend. So I called a guy that's been in the garage, loves the garage, tells his church about how great the garage is. He hadn't been around for 6 or 7 months. Not a sight of him. So I said, Dennis, what have you been doing? I said, why haven't you been back? And just ask him. I said, did I offend you? What is it that JC's done to run all you people off out of the garage? Oh, JC, no, I loved it. I love that down there. I've been telling I'm in church 3 times a week. I keep telling them how great that garage is and share my testimony with them. He said, but they don't want to do nothing. I said, Dennis, get out. What are you doing?
Run for your life.
So I'm going to work on that. We're going to get things moving again and just keep hammering away.
You are one of the most faithful soldiers I know. You just soldier on and soldier on and soldier on, man. I'm with you, dude. God bless you. Hey, so you had the permit. You could have cleared that whole thing, man. Let me move on, Jeff. I want to get some others in there. Jack, come on in, then Beth. Beth, then Jack. Jack's always delayed. Go, Beth.
Well, you know that everyone in our church homeschools. At the beginning of the school year, I started a homeschool group to provide support for the parents as well as opportunities for the kids to do stuff within the community. So my mission right now is to get kids out of public schools.
Amen. 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 You're going to find some opposition there, Beth. You know that. Soldier on, baby. Soldier on. Hey, Beth, let me encourage you. Bible says you're going to be hated. You're going to be hated by all women. Keep after it, right? Because why? The devil doesn't want his kingdom torn down. The schools are his kingdom. That's how he trains children. Jack, come on back in, Jack. I shut you off. And Jack, and then Paul after Jack. Get those Mainers in here. Go ahead, Jack. He dropped off. Paul.
Sorry, Dave. Could you have them post that? I just posted something. And it goes to exactly what we're talking here. But, so if you look at, this is coming out of that Salem, and I've never seen such inversion in my life.
Uh-huh.
So they connect everything to teaching our kids the satanic religious reproductive rights. That's all about abortion, right? Okay. Every one of these, if you keep going down, there you go. Protect Children Project, right?
As they kill them, right? As they kill them and rape them.
They're teaching them demonic stuff. After school, Satan. And this is popular. This is popular. Sober faction. No, AA. You can't do that. You have to go to their type. So you never get out of it. Satanic represent. I just cannot believe that this is becoming mainstream. It's getting very dark here.
Paul, the word says, all those who hate me love death. They love death. These folks love death.
Unbelievable.
And if we can't see it, I don't know, is the church afraid of it? Are we afraid to engage this? What is going on? I was talking to Scott Shar, whose daughter, Gracie's dad, I don't know, whatever it is, somebody find it for me. Anyway, the opposition he is getting from the church, is amazing. Pushing back against the forces of darkness, pushing back against evil. We're born into on a battlefield. We're to contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. And instead, the church is being indoctrinated. We're accepting it. We're tolerating it. We're inviting it in. We have Christian homosexuals. What? That'd be like a Christian thief? A Christian pornographer? See, we don't think homosexuality is sin. I don't know. It's a spirit. It's a perversion. But it's sin. Why would we allow that in the church? Why would we promote that in the church? Why does that seem hateful to talk about perversion and what they're doing to our children? Don't we love our children? They love our children. They sure want our children. But we allow them to go in there and be rainbow, huh? Rainbow. Vinny, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Well, there's a current lawsuit about murdering children as a satanic practice. I mean, you know, it's just craziness. But the reason I came in is because of, Coach, we were talking about correction earlier. Well, the murderer of Austin Metcalf didn't want correction, right?
Right, right.
He didn't want correction. He, instead of being corrected, said, oh, that's not my seed. He stabbed a person to death.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Vinny. Because these are demons. These are demon-possessed people out there, and the church doesn't even believe in the demonic. Angie, come on in.
Boom.
Coach, honestly, let's just think this through. The church tells us that the laws of God are done away with. Why is homosexuality any different? It's not. They tell us the church, so that's they're going to accept it because those laws are gone. They're done away with. We don't have to do those things. We don't have to keep it. Well, we've never had to keep anything, but we do these things because they protect us. They are a boundary in which we live our lives so that we not only protect our own families and our own personal self, we protect our communities. These laws of God, which are hinged upon loving Him and loving others, by the way, that's what Jesus said, not my words, Jesus's words. I'm not sure why he would tell us upon those two hinge the whole rest of the law if he was going to get rid of the whole thing. So if we're going to talk about how homosexual laws are tolerated now, are not even acknowledged now within the church, that's why the church continues to insist that the laws of God, including those Ten Commandments, by the way, are done away with.
Yeah, don't apply anymore.
That's not right. And that is the hypocrisy of the church. It is the hypocrisy of every Christian that mouths that piece out there because they want to have the law of homosexuality apply, but they don't want that Sabbath. Or they want the laws of bestiality to apply or not to apply, but then they don't want to obey the rest of the laws. Like, don't, you know. It's just so much hypocrisy, it's not even funny. And it's frustrating to sit there and listen to these churches and these, I mean, they're growing, they're popping up all over the place where they're putting the rainbow flags out. It's because they know, they know that if they don't market to somebody else, they're going to be irrelevant. So they're now marketing to the LGBTQ community as God is just love. God is not anger. God is not wrath. God is not justice, right? The only thing that that God judges us on is by the standards with which he set forth in the beginning of the book, which is his laws. That's what we're judged on, right?
Evil men crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. That's where we are. If it feels good, do it. We love you no matter what. Jesus loves you no matter what. The fear of God has left the stage. Let me pull this up real quick. I'll get you, Dale. I'll be right with you. Promise. Pull up. Look what's going on here. Pull up number three. Pull up number three real quick. Columbus, Ohio. This is why we went to Planned Parenthood last week, by the way. Planned Parenthood of Central Ohio faces new uncertainty from federal funding freeze. Folks, let me ask you something. Is your church calling the President of the United States, calling Congress and say, defund Planned Parenthood? Is your church doing that? You know what's going on? Hey, open your eyes and understand that when the left is losing, are you looking at me? When the left is losing, they show up. They show up in the streets. They show up at Congress. They show up at offices. When the left is losing, they show up. We can't even see they're losing. We won't show up. Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. Isn't that the truth? Your question right there, my answer is yes and yes. Yes, we call. Yes, we go. Yes, we show up. We show up. God shows off, and he makes us look good while he's doing it. Lord, there's not enough pages in the book, Coach, to go way back with you. I met you in the trenches, and we continue to fight in the trenches. And hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take my wife to work here, Coach. I'll get back on in a second.
That's all right. You're allowed to do that.
So, Coach, it has been an honor and a blessing knowing you all these years fighting. But, you know, it's been a blessing meeting the men in this and the women in this group.
Nameless, faceless people, Dale. Nameless.
Absolutely, Coach. And, you know, it's exciting. You know, I've been with you, I mean, over 20 years. It's the fact of watching some of these people. I remember walking through that homosexual Sodom and Gomorrah downtown section of Columbus with Mark Trump for the first time. I just met him, and I'm like, we're walking through Sodom and Gomorrah, right? I've known Jeff going through all of this, you know, meeting Randy, you know, and of course, just, you know, just Chet and just everybody. It's been a blessing watching. Not only that, watching people mature in Christ, sharpening their swords with one another and taking it. And Coach, to me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Doesn't the Bible say this, Dale, somewhere? The more they persecuted them, the more they prospered and grew. Doesn't the Bible say that, Dale?
Absolutely. Listen, brother, when they did that and they scattered, right, when they struck the sheep and they scattered, the gospel went out from there to the whole world, Coach. And had the devil known what he had done, I said this week, I saw Cal Zastro up in Mississippi. He's coming to my house this week, a week or two right before you come in. This has been my honor as a pastor, giving the opportunity and a platform to men like you, to men like Cal Zastro and his family, to men like Flip Benham, to men like Rusty Thomas, to all these men, to understand there is still a fold out there that has the zeal of the Lord, and they fight, right, with the sword in one hand and the word of God in the other. And so it's an absolute honor to be used by God. You know, we hate being used, but boy, I tell you what, it is an awesome feeling to be used by God. And I'm going to say this last thing. The scripture in John says we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
I want to add, this isn't saying in the Bible, but we were talking about that God does hate. So we love him because he first loved us, and he hates us because we first hated him.
Amen. Amen. So Dale, folks, understand this. When you become a Christian, you become a bond servant. So what does that mean? Well, I'm a bond servant because I'm indebted to the man who purchased my life. I'm a bond servant. He got me out on bond. And because he got me out on bond, it's my job to serve him. And the church is full of people her bond servants and are being taught to serve themselves. That Christ's death, burial, resurrection was about you having a better life. No, it's about the fact that death no longer has any power over you. You will never die. Bond servants. See you tomorrow.